This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour with Pastor David M. Atkinson. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your interest and request that you pray for this ministry. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Now here is Pastor Atkinson.
Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Look again at verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 12 is an absolute statement. Now, as I said the other day, the emerging church people do not like absolutes. They much prefer dialogue. They prefer room to wiggle. But verse 12 is an absolute statement. There is no room for an alternative. Now turn over to John's inspired gospel account, John 14, verse 1. John 14, 1. Our Lord is speaking. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If he had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Verse 6 of this passage is also an absolute statement. Once again, there's no room for an alternative. He said, no man cometh to the Father but or except by me. It's an absolute statement. Please be seated. Thank you kindly. Our subject is the exceptional Jesus. The exceptional Jesus, or Jesus is Jesus. It was Jesus who claimed exceptionalism and exclusivity when he said, but by me. In the previous message, I gave three reasons why our Lord is the exceptional Jesus. Number one, no man ever fulfilled prophecy to the extent or degree that Jesus did. Number two, no record of any man's life has ever surpassed the record of his life in ability to tell the truth because of the witness's nearness, both geographically and chronologically, to the events recorded. Dr. Edwin Yamauchi teaches at Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. Though born into a Buddhist background, Dr. Yamauchi has been following Jesus ever since 1952. He was reared in a Buddhist environment, but chose our Lord. He chose the exceptional Jesus. Dr. Yamauchi has studied 22 languages. He's been awarded 8 fellowships. He has delivered 71 papers before learned societies and lectured at more than 100 seminaries, universities, and colleges. In 1968, he participated in the first excavations of the Herodian Temple in Jerusalem, revealing evidence of the temple's destruction by Titus in AD 70. He's authored several books, including The Stones and the Scriptures and The Scriptures and Archaeology. This same Dr. Yamauchi said that when we compare the records of religious figures of history, such as Zoroaster, Buddha, and Muhammad, we have better historical documentation for Jesus than for the founder of any other religion, bar none. That's what the man who studies 22 languages says. It's a very strong statement. We also saw a third reason why Jesus is the exceptional Jesus. No man's record has ever passed the transmission test with such credibility as his record has. Now, I did not take the time at the close of my message on Monday evening to actually state the fourth reason why Jesus is the exceptional Jesus. I'll give it to you before we proceed. Here's the fourth reason why Jesus is Jesus, the exceptional Jesus. No man ever had the irresistibility of personhood that Jesus had and has. No man ever had the irresistibility of personhood that Jesus had and has. As an illustration of the irresistibility of personhood that Jesus has, I read at some length from Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Faith, in which Mr. Strobel recounts his interview with Canada's most celebrated agnostic, Charles B. Chuck Templeton. You will recall that I said Chuck Templeton was the most dynamic pastor evangelist Canada has ever had until he began to lose his faith and went to the wrong place for answers, namely Princeton Seminary. You may further recall that in the course of the interview, Chuck Templeton said some amazing things regarding the Jesus he no longer believed was God. He said to Lee Strobel, "Jesus was the greatest human being who's ever lived." He said, "Jesus was a moral genius." He said, "I know it may sound strange, but I have to say, I adore him." He said, "Everything pure I know, I learned from Jesus. There may have been many other wonderful people, but Jesus is Jesus." And as his voice began to crack, he said, "And if I may put it this way, I miss him." Lee Strobel says, with that, tears flooded down the cheeks of Canada's most celebrated agnostic, and he raised his left hand to shield his face from the vision of Lee Strobel, and his shoulders began to bob as Canada's premier agnostic began to weep regarding the irresistibility of Jesus. Following the close of the service Monday evening, while we were still on the platform, Dr. Comfort asked me if I knew anything about how Chuck Templeton died. Here is what I know. When I learned of his death, I've been gone from Canada for many, many years. But when I learned of his death, some months after his passing, I phoned one of the large Toronto newspapers and asked them to send me their report of his death. They did. The report was not as long as I expected it would be. But after making reference to his many careers, he could not settle down. Bless his beloved and precious heart. He was like a bee flitting from flower to flower, his great mind having divorced itself from the deity of Jesus, could not settle down. And he spent the rest of his life flitting from flower to flower, including an attempt to capture the leadership of the Ontario Liberal Party. And this article in the newspaper mentioned his many careers, and then it said, he remained interested in religion right up till the time of his death. But then the article also disclosed that near the very end, he had suddenly raised himself up on both elbows on his deathbed and pointing to the upper corner of the death room, he said, "Do you see the light? You see the light up in the corner near the ceiling?" He said, they're coming for me. Do you not see them? The angels are coming for me." Now you ask me, what do I make of that? I answer, I'm very careful what I make of it, because there are angels. And then again, there are angels. And 2 Corinthians 11:14 says that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I am careful how much I make of the statement, the angels are coming for me. He's the exceptional Jesus. No man ever had the irresistibility of personhood that Jesus had and has. We must move quickly on. Number five, no record of any person's movement has ever been so immediately honest and transparent to report warts and all as the record of his followers' movement. No record of any person's movement has ever been so immediately honest and transparent to report warts and all. The record of his followers' movement. It was only a few weeks ago that we received disclosure of yet another of John Fitzgerald Kennedy's multiple affairs. We went through the thing with North Carolina's John Edwards. John Kennedy was assassinated in November 1963, and just a couple weeks ago, we had the word released to us of yet another affair right at the time of his wedding to Jacqueline. We have all these spin doctors today, spinning the records of men, but the record of the followers of our Lord doesn't have to be spun. It stands with such pristine truth and honesty that that's part of the attraction. The record regarding our Lord's followers is no idealistic or mythological whitewash. It tells us about the foibles of Peter. And Dr. Stedman preached to us on some of the foibles of Peter. The record tells us about Judas. It tells us about the conflict between the Greek-speaking Jewish Christians and the Aramaic-speaking Jewish Christians in Acts 6. The record also shows us the breach between Paul and Barnabas in Acts 15. Jesus is Jesus, and no record of any other person's movement is so honest and so transparent. Number six, no man has ever spoken like he did. No man or no woman has ever spoken like he did. William Biederwolf reminds us of the authoritativeness of his words and the finality of his ethical pronouncements. Mr. Biederwolf said, oh, I like this. And you have to understand my sense of humor. And it's not a belly laugh. But if your sense of humor is basically in your mind, oh, there's humor in this. Mr. Beethoven says, the officers of the law went out to arrest Jesus. And there are more of them than there was of him. But they came back without him. And what did these officers say when they were asked why they came back without their man? Did they say, he shot his way out and escaped? No. Did they say, well, you understand, sir, he was surrounded by his army and we dared not attack? No, they didn't say that. What did they say? They said, never man spake. Never man spake as this man. The American military would do well to discover that secret. Never man spake. And the sheriff of this county would do well to find that secret. Never man spake as this man spake. They couldn't bring themselves to arrest him because of his speech. What was it that caused the soldiers and officers who finally did arrest him in the garden to fall backwards to the ground? It was his speech. He just spoke what's called the tetragrammaton. He just said, I am. The he in your Bible is in italics. What he said was, I am. And they fell backwards to the ground. I say, Jesus is Jesus because of his speech. Herbert Buffum wrote, could we catch the glitter of the dew or snowflake and remove the rainbow from the clouds? Add to these the brightness of the sun or moonbeams, and the mantle white that mountain peaks enshroud. Then, if we could catch the beauty of each jewel found on earth or in the depths of briny sea, blend them all together in one mighty prism, still the loveliness of Christ is more to me. He's altogether lovely. He's the fairest of the fair. And on him alone, through life, I can depend. Oh, all language fails me completely when I try to tell the world of the loveliness of Jesus Christ, my friend. Number 7, he is the exceptional Jesus, the but by me Jesus, because no man's words ever contributed as much to the abolition of the slave trade as the words of Jesus. It was that great heart follower of Jesus, the Apostle Paul, who under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit wrote a slave owner as follows. I beseech thee, wrote Paul, for my son, that is son in the gospel, Onesimus. And he was saying, I'm asking you, for the sake of your runaway slave, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant or a slave, but above a slave, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. No man's words ever contributed as much to the abolition of the slave trade as the words of Jesus. Number 8. No man has ever done the things he did. He had power over nature. He calmed stormy seas with his words. He healed lepers and laymen. He healed blind men. He restored dead men and a dead girl to life. He walked on water. No man has ever done the things he did. Jesus is Jesus. Number 9, no man has ever peacefully changed the course of history the way he did. No man has ever peacefully changed the course of history the way he did. Our Baptist people are peace-loving people. And I take this opportunity to make an interjection. But the interjection is very relevant. We repudiate the unspiritual folly of the Crusades. I repeat, we as Baptists repudiate the unspiritual folly of the Crusades. The Crusades were not undertaken by biblical Christians. The Crusades were undertaken by politicians who were cowards hiding underneath the banner of Christianity. Baptists believe in soul liberty. And let me say to you, with all due respect, my firm conviction as one who became a Baptist by conviction and not one who was born into a Baptist, so my firm conviction about soul liberty also impacts my soul-winning methodology. I don't try to get people to trust Christ like a man who's getting hungry would try to sell insurance. There is such a thing as soul liberty. And you don't just stick your foot in the door and stay there till the person gets sick of you and prays the prayer to get rid of you. We are Baptists. We present the message. We confront with repentance and faith. And then that soul has the liberty to repent and respond. That's a Baptist distinctive. It ought to impact everything we do, including our evangelism and soul winning. We believe in soul liberty. We do not believe in religion by force. If Bible-believing Baptists had been in charge, there would have been no crusades. Jesus is Jesus. No one has ever peacefully changed history the way he did. Napoleon Bonaparte said, "I am much struck with the contrast between Christ's mode of gathering people to himself and the way practiced by Alexander the Great, by Julius Caesar, and by myself. The people have been gathered to us by fear." I'm coming now to talk about leadership. I'm talking about the fact that biblical leadership does not motivate by fear. I deal with this in my book on leadership. Jesus changes history by peace. Dictators change history by fear. Number 10, it's a corollary of number 9. Number 10, no man ever motivated men and women by pure love the way he did and does. No man ever motivated men and women by pure love the way he did and does. It's amazing to me that movie director Martin Scorsese is still walking around. That just indicates the mercy and the grace of our God. Scorsese directed The Last Temptation of Jesus and gives him an immoral mind. That's not my Jesus. No one motivated men and women by pure love the way Jesus did and does. People do not die for the lies of fear-mongering. I repeat, people do not die for the lies of fear-mongering. The Muslim suicide bombers are not dying for the lies of fear. The Muslim suicide bombers are dying for the false promise of a licentious afterlife. That's not love, that's lust. And suicide bombers die for liquor and 70-some virgins. Jesus motivates by pure love. Love with no ulterior motive. Unadulterated love. Listen once again to Napoleon. He said, "The people have been gathered to Alexander, Caesar, and myself by fear, but the people were gathered to Christ by love. Alexander, Caesar, and I have been men of war, but Christ was the Prince of Peace. The people have been driven to us, but they were drawn to him." All preachers, catch the difference. You'll never long range drive your people, but if you walk with the Lord and be filled with the Holy Spirit, as Dr. Nelson has said, you can draw people. You can pull them instead of trying to push them. He said the people were drawn to Jesus, and at this hour, millions of men would die for him, for the sake of pure love. Jesus is Jesus. He motivated by love. He said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw, not push, I will draw all men to me. John 12:32. Number 11, no man ever changed the calendar the way he did. No man ever changed the calendar the way he did. William Beterwolf asked, and I'll use this year's date. Dr. Beterwolf has been in heaven for several decades. He asked, and I'll, as I say, use today's date, why did you date today's letter, 2010? Why did you not date it from the Greek Olympiad? Why didn't you date it from the founding of Rome? Why didn't you date today's letter from the French Revolution? Or why did you not date today's letter from Mohammed's flight? Or from Buddha's birth? Or Comte's calendar? He says, these all tried to have it so, to change the calendar, but Jesus did it. We dated today's letter the way we did because approximately 2,010 years ago, the exceptional Jesus was born. Number 12, no man has ever redeemed a guilty sinner from the slave market of Satan and sin except Jesus. No man has ever redeemed a guilty sinner from the slave market of Satan and sin except Jesus. With all religions, both old and new, the seeker after salvation must pay some kind of price by doing some kind of work or works. It is that way with every religious system. There's a price to be paid, if not in money for an indulgence, at least a price to be paid in a work or works, but not so with Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. Ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb. 1 Peter 1:18-19. He that hath no money, come, let him buy without money, let him buy without price. Isaiah 55:1. He is the exceptional Jesus. He's the exceptional Jesus for a 13th reason. No man has ever changed lives the way he has. Jesus can take a demon-possessed young man and give him his right mind and his right body. Jesus can take a maltrotter or a sottish Sam Jones from Georgia. Jesus can take a maltrotter or a Sam Jones, eyes bleary, and walk unstable from the effects of chronic boozing, and Jesus can change them so that they will never need alcohol or AA again. Nobody ever changed lives the way Jesus can change lives. There's a stirring song that declares, there's a long parade of miracles. And I can picture it in my mind. A long parade of miracles. And it's led by a wonderful king. And I am one of those miracles. Are you? Oh, I'm at a Bible college. Well, are you saved? Have you known personally an experience of salvation, forgiveness of sins by this exceptional Jesus? A skeptic lawyer, Frank Morrison, set out to disprove the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And in the process of trying to disprove the bodily resurrection of Jesus, Frank Morrison became a believer. And instead of writing a thesis on the falsity of the resurrection, he wrote a book called Who Moved the Stone? Nobody changes lives and turns them around 180 degrees like Jesus. Nobody ever in all of human history has changed so many lives so drastically as the exceptional Jesus. Number 14, no man has ever brought healing to the human race the way he has. I've already alluded to the way he healed individuals when he was here on earth. But then consider also all the hospitals and the clinics started in his name. And think of all the cures and medicines discovered by Christian doctors who researched because they had Christian compassion and they found a cure for a sickness. And don't forget all the healing balms ministered by Christian nurses such as Florence Nightingale. Nobody has ever healed lives the way he did. Number 15, no man has ever lifted the human race the way he has. No man has ever lifted the human race the way he has. When Jesus comes, primitive tribes begin to read and write. And our son at this very moment is in Cameroon, West Africa. He is there and he is teaching Cameroonian pastors pastoral counseling for local Baptist churches in Cameroon. And those men are reading and writing because of Jesus, period. No one has ever lifted the human race like the exceptional Jesus. When Jesus comes, cannibalism goes. When I was in Papua New Guinea, there was a very, very elderly lady still alive there in that church. And she could tell you how the different races taste. And she said, "Oh, Caucasians taste sweet." She said, "There are others from other groups that don't taste as sweet as Caucasians." When Jesus comes, cannibalism goes. There is a plaque in memory of missionary John Geddes on one of the islands of the South Seas. The plaque reads, "When John Geddes came to this island, there were no Christians. When John Geddes left, there were no cannibals." Number 16, no man has ever impacted the culture the way Jesus has. Music, literature, art. Number 17, no man has ever contributed as much to the dignity of womanhood as Jesus did. No man has ever contributed as much to the dignity of womanhood as Jesus did. The degradation brought to women under the guise of harems and veils is a crime against humanity. And finally, number 18. No man was ever vindicated by hostile witnesses the way Jesus was. Jesus is Jesus. No man was ever vindicated by hostile witnesses the way Jesus was. When Jesus was brought before Annas, he said, "I spake openly to the world. In secret have I said nothing. Ask them which heard me." When one of the officers of the Hebrews struck him, Jesus said, "If I've spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if I've spoken well, why are you smiting me?" And Pilate listened to the best witnesses the insecure and crooked Sanhedrin could buy. And after listening to the best witnesses the Sanhedrin could buy, Pilate still said, "Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know I find no fault in him. What evil hath he done?" Jesus is Jesus. He's the exceptional Jesus. I close with this anecdote. When Elizabeth was crowned queen in Great Britain in 1953, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Geoffrey Fisher, and oh, how the archbishops of Britain have changed. But back in 53, when Geoffrey Fisher was archbishop, as Elizabeth was crowned, he said, I give thee, O sovereign lady, this crown to wear until he who reserves the right to wear it should return. He's the exceptional Jesus.
We trust you have been encouraged or strengthened by the word today. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at graceglory7@juno.com. That's graceglory7@juno.com. We will reply to all those who contact us. And now, until next time, may the good Lord bless and keep you.